Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mommy Chronicles with Denise Davis May and Tanya Scott Williams, your parenting partners in raising phenomenal children.
I hear our music. I like it.
Yeah.
For a second, I thought about, you know, changing it when we were going to come back.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know,
it's cool. Hey, everybody.
I'm Tanya Williams.
And I'm Denise Davis May.
And we are the Mommy Chronicles, coming to you live from our studio in the gorgeous city of Montgomery, Alabama.
Yeah, we are here.
Yes, we are here. We are here. And we have a wonderful guest lined up for you today. Now, if you've listened to any of our shows in the past, you know something we always circle back around to is conversations about how to manage the whole process of feeding our folk. Right?
Yeah, buddy. And thanks, Anna Marie and Jacob, for joining us.
Yes.
And hi back at you. We are always struggling with what we're going to eat, what we're going to prepare, how we're going to think about our meals in a way that will allow us to be economical and to be smart about what we're feeding our family.
Exactly. And one of the things that we've talked about in the past is we wanted to bring on or go through a process of teaching ourselves to do meal prep. You know, there are so many, you know, pictures on Pinterest of these fabulous meals, people got stuff planned out for like a week or a month in advance. I'm like,
what the heck?
First of all, who are these people? And can I please hire them to come and show me how to do this? So we've really talked about this sort of jokingly, but quite honestly, you know, as working moms and as, you know, wanting to certainly balance our family lives and our work and those kinds of things, we needed some assistance.
Mm-hmm.
So when we worked on this show, Real Meals, Real Talk About Real Meals, we were fortunate enough to be connected with a fantastic woman from Mobile, Alabama, and she is waiting in the wings right now. Her name is Cora Crocker Evans, and she is a health advocate and nutrition advisor, and as well as an ambassador for Plexus Health Supplement. She, for the past 15 years, she has been a consumer science teacher, specifically instructing food and nutrition and sports nutrition for the past 8 years in Mobile. And most importantly, something that's near and dear to our hearts, she is a mother of three fabulous children, and she comes to us this morning to share her wisdom. Hopefully we can get her to come up to Montgomery and help us to work on our meal prep. But anyway, Cora, are you there? Welcome to the show.
Hello. Good morning, everyone.
And thanks so much for taking the time out to kind of get us straight this morning, because we need it.
Oh,
and
it's
so
my
I'm sorry?
I'm sorry. I said it's my pleasure. This is my thing.
Yeah. We appreciate you. And so we have a few questions. You know, the show is only 30 minutes, and so we'd like to get as much of your wisdom in and out to the folks that are watching us as possible, including Katanga Mance and Tracy
and
Meredith.
Hi,
thank y'all for joining us. And I'm sorry to my folks. Y'all going to get this after the fact because something's wrong with my phone. So we appreciate you. We do want to, before we get into our interview, let everyone know that the first person who shares this Facebook Live on their page will be getting a Mommy Chronicles t-shirt.
Yay!
Woo-hoo!
Woo-hoo!
And it's the bomb. It really is cute.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our faces.
Yeah.
So
right.
we're looking out and we're waiting for y'all to share. And so, Cora, we want to start with sort of a general question. You know, we all, and both of us certainly, are reading all the time about, you know, the kinds of foods that you should be feeding your families and what's supposed to be good for you. And I know now that much of that is often driven by industry marketing, right?
Yes, it is.
And so can you just talk about, from a dietary perspective, what are some of the strategies that we can use to prepare well-rounded meals for our families?
Okay. Well, what I think most of all is, and you're right, the food industry and the marketing industry, they're very closely related, and along with the medical industry. And so they kind of piggyback off of each other. But for us consumers to be able to make wise choices as to what we need to feed our families, what we should be ingesting on a regular basis, it's really good to, like you say, be very informed, read the articles that come out, and then apply that. Go and look at the labels. Read the labels. Most of the time, especially the big companies, the food is mass-produced, which means that in order for it to get all over America, it has to be preserved. Most of those preservatives, not most of them, all of the preservatives are either going to be sugars, sodiums, and none of those things are good for us. All of those contribute to different types of health issues. And so I guess reading the labels, knowing what you're looking at, like sugar can be labeled on the – they told you that there is 65% sugar in something that you're eating, you obviously wouldn't eat it. But they chunk it in little words. So it'll say high fructose corn syrup. It will say cane sugar. It will say honey. But all of these things will be on your label. So you want to look for what the ingredients are. And sometimes you won't understand what it is. But if it ends in O-S-E, O-S-E, that's in the word, that's sugar. That is sugar.
I love that.
Wow.
Watch that. So, you know, a lot of people read labels, but they're looking at calorie content, but not necessarily the ingredients that are in it, with the exception of, you know, allergens that, you know, for people who have food allergies. But that's one of the tricks. So being aware of what's in it and reading that nutritional label on the back where it talks about how much sodium, and it's got percentages on things. Going to there's a website. It's called choosemyplate.gov, and that one, if you go there, you can plug in what you're eating on a regular basis, and it will tell you, give you a graph that tells you how close or how far you are from eating what you need to eat in a day. And that's a great one for kids, for moms. It's great to do together. So, yeah, that's a good strategy.
So when I put my Krispy Kreme donut into Choose My Plate, is the computer going to explode?
Yes. Now, that Krispy Kreme, that's only for special occasions, only certain times. That's sugar on top of sugar. Yeah. Don't put that one on.
I was raised to believe that every day is a special day. But no. But you make an excellent point, and I love the way that you made it very simple. Anything that ends in O-S-E is not going to be good for us. You're absolutely right about it. And being able to decipher those labels, oh, my gosh, it can be overwhelming. I mean, sometimes my daughter will take out her phone, and then we'll just start going online trying to figure out, okay, what does this really mean? Mm-hmm. And what does this really mean? And then we started saying, if the ingredient list is really long with overly complicated words, and we don't need to be eating it,
mm-hmm.
period.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly, yeah. Because they're preservatives. And so some of those preservatives, you know, they're there for flavor, because during processing, some of the flavor of whatever it was, like if you buy, like, strawberry preserves, which is supposed to be preserved strawberries and sugar only, it's going to have extra flavoring in it, because part of the process of processing, it loses some of its flavor of the strawberry. It's going to lose the sweetness. You know, strawberries aren't quite that sweet. And so it's going to have all these things to keep it on the shelf longer. Also, things that have a long shelf life. We want to buy things that, you know, we can take home. They're not going to go bad very quickly. But if it has an extremely long shelf life, like a year from now or 3 years from now, or even some months, you know, extended months from now, that has to have preservatives in it so that it doesn't go bad. So those, if it's got all of that in it, we really don't need to eat that.
But that sugar is so doggone good.
It's very addictive too. Extremely addictive.
And basically what you've told me is that I should go home and just throw out everything in
my
pantry.
Whole cabinet.
Yeah, because I call myself, you know, in fact, the one who shops in my household is my husband. He is an excellent shopper. I mean, this is his self-care when he likes to comparison shop and go to the grocery store. So he does a good job of keeping the pantry stocked and the fridge with things that we need. But, you know, you know, we do like the grocery store. You know how you put the oldest things towards the front and the newer things towards
right.
the front? Well, that's been up there
right.
for a few months.
Mm-hmm.
So that means I need to get rid of it because,
you need to
I mean,
get rid of it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's important, but what that means is we will now have to shop more often and clearly have to buy fresher food.
And it becomes an economic issue, right?
Yes.
In terms of the kinds of foods that are preserved and last
right.
longer, they tend to be more economic, right?
Well,
they're more economical.
A strategy for that, and you're absolutely right, but a strategy for that would be to, you know, shop. Make
mm-hmm.
sure you get all of your fresh fruit and vegetables. You get your fresh meat. If you're going to do dairy, get fresh dairy stuff. And think about it. Those are all around the outside of the grocery store because they're refrigerated. That's its preservation method rather than a chemical. So you want to get stuff from out there first and then get your rice, maybe dried beans, some pasta, those types of things from the inside aisles. And, of course, you got to get the cereal for the children, but that's when you read the label and see how is it preserved. So and financially, I look at it as, you know, and for my family, I am a very thrifty shopper, and we do eat fresh. I used to shop where I could go once a month and get everything I needed. And but now it's once a week because I have to make sure that it's all fresh and so that it's financially sustainable for me, I check dates. And the tricks are grocery stores can only keep it so long. They're going to mark it down. It still has probably about a 5-7 day use-by date. So you can buy it. Like if I'm doing salmon, a side of salmon at Walmart is about $23. Well, if I know they're going to mark it down tomorrow, I'm going to come there tomorrow and get that same salmon for about $5 to $10 less, take it straight home, go ahead and cook it, separate it, package it, and maybe freeze it, and then I've got it.
Awesome. So with that in mind, Cora, can you recommend 5 items that should be in our fridge and in our pantry weekly? What would those things be? What 5 items would you suggest that we should all have?
Okay, I think that fresh green leafy vegetables are and a variety of those. If you're trying to watch your protein, eggs are great. They're actually the best protein out there. That's a natural protein. I would say pasta because you need your carbohydrates for energy, especially children. Fresh fruit. And actually, I threw an extra one in there. I picked a nut butter, some type of like peanut or almond butter, some type of a nut butter, and then a dairy product. Those are the ones that I say you need to have those in your kitchen, in your home at all times.
Well, I'm feeling a little bit better because we did do a purge a few months ago, just went
uh-huh.
through and we just got rid of everything, that stuff that had been there for a while. And, in fact, my daughter even said, we have too much, too many sweet things in the house. We need to get rid of it. Of course,
right.
now she regrets that I said that. But we followed this list of 5 that you have. We really tried to stay around this, hang out in this area. And Rick does bring back quite a few fresh vegetables
mm-hmm.
also.
Right.
If you're just joining us, this is the Mommy Chronicles. I'm Tanya Scott Williams.
And I'm Denise Davis May.
And we are interviewing today Ms. Cora Crocker Evans. She is from Mobile, Alabama. She is a health activist, nutritionist, and she has come today to shine some light in our pantries and in our fridges and give us some wisdom mm-hmm. and some takeaways.
And so we appreciate the idea that you need to have fresh food. Fresh vegetables,
right.
meat as fresh as possible, and certainly that have as few preservatives as possible, which can be a
mm-hmm.
challenge, right? Shopping
it's
in some of the large grocery stores. And so we get tired at my house of having, we eat a lot of fresh collards and cabbage, like
mm-hmm.
eat that. At least once a week, sometimes a couple of times a week.
Right.
I know that there are tons of different kinds of foods that are good for you that are also economical, but that people don't typically have in their kitchen, especially when you have children, right? Because
right.
their palates are simple, and I'm talking about children. My palate is simple.
I wouldn't say that.
I don't like a whole lot of new foods, and I don't want my food groups mixed. But what is a good strategy or the best strategy that you can offer to introduce new and healthy foods to our children?
Well, I think, you know, with children and with us alike, you know, the more conversation we have about what's healthy and what we can choose from and what's out there, the better we are informed about it. So, first of all, let your talk be more about what's healthy, about good food choices, about, well, have you ever tried leek? How does that taste? What's fennel? Have you heard of it? And talk about those things. And then take your kids shopping with you. Say, you know, we're going to add one new green vegetable. Which one is it going to be? And let them help you decide what it is. Find your recipe after you've chosen the product. And then if that's something that you haven't done or you are not quite ready for, you know, some of the ones that are interesting to you, some of the ones that are outside of your norm, go ahead and pick them, bring them home, and let the children decide, okay, we're going to have, we have to pick one of these. Which one are we going to have tonight? And let them get involved in it. It'll broaden their palate some. It'll broaden their understanding of what they probably need to do. I have three children, and the older two are very healthy, very health conscious. The younger one, of course, she's only, and she is, if it's sweet, she wants it. I mean, she's got that kid palate. But we talk about healthy things, and we do healthy things around the house. So now she'll ask the question. She'll say, well, Mom, I like this. I want this, but it's not so healthy, is it? No, it's not so healthy. What else you think you might want to try? And she'll try something else. So it's just about, you know, what are our conversations about? What is she seeing? What is she picking up on?
So me buying the frozen chocolate cake, eating half of it in front of my child,
ma'am.
That's not what I should be doing with.
No. It's okay. All of that is okay. It has a place. You have to say, like, today is, it's Saturday, like at my house, on Saturdays, not Sundays, not Fridays, just Saturdays. That's our day to do something else. We may order pizza that day. We may go to Krispy Kreme that day. But that's that one day that we get to do it because we've been disciplined pretty much the whole week. Now, not to say don't do it so much that they don't want to, you know, they're like, oh, my gosh, I get to eat a cookie today. Not like that. If they want one, okay, you get one. You really need it. You did a good job today at school or whatever happened, great. Get one. Get two. But that's it. I don't want them to be unhealthy. So I have to make choices or help them make healthy choices.
We have some folks who have joined us on Facebook Live, and we want to acknowledge them. Hello, Tamika Washington Nelson with your fabulous self. Gabrielle Mays, thank you for joining us this morning. Hey, Denise's folks, we'll be saying hey to y'all, even though we can't see you right now, but she's going to post it later. But hello to everyone in Denise's world. Thank you guys for joining us on Facebook Live. We're having a wonderful chat this morning with Cora, who's giving us some wonderful tips. Make me feel a little bit better about my process.
And making me feel horribly.
Experience. And you know what? We need that. In fact, I can foresee us folding this into some other things, mm-hmm. some other conversations. We only have about 11 minutes left in today's show. Mm-hmm. So let's see. Meal prep for a week for an average-sized family can be an overwhelming task for beginners, maybe me, who's not so much of a beginner. But anyway, what are some simple steps, Cora, that you can recommend to get started in that meal prep process, to look out at the week and then decide how you're going to go ahead and prepare so you're not rushing after you get home from work?
Mm-hmm. Right. It all comes, like, the whole thing is planning. And if you make a list of those people who are starting out, make a list of foods that your family likes to eat or that you want for them to eat. And then group those things in like or similar categories. For example, if ground beef is something that you're going to use, then you're going to, for a week, go ahead and try to think of as many things that you can, a variety of things that you can do with that ground beef in 1 week. Now, for me, I do ground beef or chicken. So if it's if I'm going to think about how I'm going to cook all this at one time and prep this stuff, I'm going to, you know, buy the ground beef and I'll brown it, and half of it will get seasoned for tacos. The other part is going to be seasoned for spaghetti. The rest of it may be burgers or meatloaf or whatever else it's going to be. And you cook it all at one time and put them in containers. And I do it separately so that, like, all of the stuff for tacos or for nachos that we're going to do, that's in one container. Another container for the spaghetti. I'll cook the pasta. Only thing I have to cook on a school night is the pasta and then make the salad. For the hamburgers, I'll go ahead and make the patties and just put them in containers, and so they're already ready. The hard part is the protein part is usually the hard part, and so you get all that part done and make sure you've got plenty of green leafy vegetables, and if you're going to do rice or pasta, you've got that prepared. So all you have to do is pull the pieces together, not actually plan and cook. Especially for busy moms and you don't have time to cook all this stuff, go buy a couple of rotisserie chickens, come home and take the outside parts, the legs off and the wings off, and put those in a Ziploc bag, and take all the meat off of the chicken, put that in a Ziploc bag. Now, that can be chicken Caesar wraps. That can be chicken Caesar salad. That can be, put it with whatever you want to put it with. Potatoes, you can make the Alfredo, chicken Alfredo with it, lots of things, but you have to think in groups, like, what are my two proteins this time? I've always got my carbs that I'm going to use, and I've always got my vegetables, and it's easy to do it if you think of it in groups.
Now, my husband's mama raised him right, because that man sure does bring home them chickens. He knows how to cut that boy up, and he will separate it. Right, and all I have to do is go in there and whip it out of the freezer or whatever, and we have been eating tacos and things like that, but he's really good at that. Mm-hmm. I say he is the one who rules the roost in terms of the grocery shopping and things away, meal prep, and also he's really good at, I call it cryovacking, but you know that thing when you,
the sealer
thingy? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's really good at that.
And so we have just one more question, and it has to do with this new push towards organic foods. But the categorization of organic means so many different things, and I want you to just tell us and our audience exactly what organic food is, and why is it better than other more preserved and other traditional foods?
Okay. In a nutshell and just basically, organic means that there was no preparation, like a preservative. It was created or raised by no outside, no man-made means, no pesticides, no growth hormones, no steroids. It was as natural as it can be. An example of that might be an organic chicken, whole chicken versus one that's not organic. The organic one is going to be smaller, so quite naturally a person would look at that and say, well, for the same price, I'm going to get the bigger bird. But that one is a reason that it's bigger like that. And the reason that organic is healthier for us is that same reason. It doesn't have anything extra added to it, and studies have shown that foods that have preservatives and that have pesticides are contributing to an array of health issues and the general heart issues, diabetes, and hypertension are just that's just the surface. I mean, we're talking intestinal issues, migraines, ADHD. There's so many. So the reason that organic is better for you is because it's completely natural. We can get into the whole gamut about discussion about genetically modified foods. Pretty much our whole industry, an apple is not a natural apple. It's genetically modified so that it doesn't, bugs don't eat it, it produces faster or what have you. So organic is good because it's natural. It's going to do exactly what it was supposed to do with no side effects. But something that is inorganic, not inorganic, but not organic, is going to have it's got additives. It's got pesticides. It may have things that can contribute to health issues that you didn't even know about. So that's the big thing about it. And I can go really deep about it, even when we talk about like an apple or a tomato. I went to Lowe's to buy a tomato plant, and all of them said hybrid tomato plant, which meant that it is genetically modified. That's not it's not something that's grown naturally that you grow in your yard. We're talking about the DNA structure of stuff that's organic or not organic. That's why it has so many different meanings.
And so, full disclosure, my husband farms, and I had a slightly different understanding of organic, including the discussion of any kind of genetic modification. And certainly, you know, people, we want the beefy tomato that doesn't get brown quickly. Mm-hmm. And so, well, there is no naturally beef master tomato. Beef master tomato is the result of, you know, years and years of research to get a tomato that's big, thick, hard, and last, right?
Right. Exactly.
And so that is certainly a part of it. But I also thought that there were levels of organic that related to the use of animal byproducts to fertilize, which then becomes a problem for folks who don't want animal. Like they're either vegetarian or vegan, and it have some sort of sensitivities to that. And so there's the reason we asked you as a dietitian is that people get confused. Like we see organic on tea, and I'm like, dude.
Right.
Again,
no man-made. You know, when I said man-made, I was saying like.
Or man,
something happened in a chemical, it was chemically altered, or something that was done in a laboratory. Because when that happens, those people who have allergens, you really don't know what you're getting.
Right, human intervention.
You have a lot of backlash from that. So that's why it's very important for you to know, like Whole Foods labels things GMO. So you know, okay, I need to investigate this to see how it was created. Maybe it did have a pesticide on it. Maybe it did have a growth hormone on it. Maybe it was genetically modified so that it would be this big, beautiful tomato instead of how it normally would have grown. So
the little pinky ones that are in my yard.
I know. Cora, we only have about 2 minutes left on today's show, but I think that we're going to have you back on. This conversation has to roll on again. I think there's so much more than just this organic conversation.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a whole nother 30-minute show.
Mm-hmm.
We'd love to have you on again. We're going to acknowledge more of our people watching on Facebook Live. Amber, Nicole, thank you so much for joining us today. Cheryl, Calvin, I saw that you were there. Kim Vaughn, thank you again for joining us. And as we said at the beginning of the show, we're going to give away a T-shirt to the first person to share today's show.
Jacob Alexander.
On their page. And is that our person?
Yeah, Jacob Alexander Jackson.
All right.
Won a T-shirt.
Yay, Jacob. So we'll be sending it. We'll get your information a little bit later, and we'll send that T-shirt to you. Cora, this is so good to have you with us today. We're going to get back with you and have you again.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it. This has been phenomenal. We want y'all to know that our next live shows will include discussions about summer fun and when to let go of your children, you helicopter moms. I'm not talking about us. So thank you all so much for participating today and hanging out with us, and we look forward to talking with you in a couple of weeks.
Absolutely. Thanks, Cora.
Thank you.
You guys, we thank you, and you all have a wonderful, wonderful weekend, and I just want to send my prayers out to the Price family and to the Mount Moriah Missionary Baptist Church in their loss of their pastor and husband, Reverend James L. Price.
Thanks for listening to the Mommy Chronicles with Denise Davis May and Tanya Scott Williams. Listen anytime, anywhere on blogtalkradio.com. Find us on Facebook and Twitter.
I just got your message.
Write to us at mommychronicles2014@gmail.com. The Mommy Chronicles, your parenting partners in raising phenomenal children.